Please be advised, all music tracks used in this production are sole property of Kelsun Communications and are original compositions. Thank you.
Hey, it's Skiri Jones, executive producer of Elvis Duran and The Morning Show on Z100. I want to talk to you all about my friend and fellow Brooklyn College alumnus, Silas. Your e-journalist, social work advocate, Silas hosts and produces the award-winning Kelsun on the Air social work podcast. My friend and fellow BCR alum is now known nationally and internationally as Silas, your e-journalist, social work advocate. His podcast, it's also listed as one of the top social work podcasts you must follow. The award-winning Kelsun on the Air social work podcast.
To everyone tuning in, welcome. This is Silas, your e-journalism social work advocate. You're listening to the Kelsun on the Air social work podcast, the program that promotes, celebrates, uplifts, and highlights the social work profession. This podcast aims to educate the general public to the vital contributions professional social workers make in every aspect of society, every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Silas, your e-journalism social work advocate, host of the award-winning Kelsun on the Air social work podcast, and I'm really excited today to introduce my guest for today. She is Ms. Sarah Delanois. She is an MSW, and also, even more importantly than that, she is an Adelphi School of Social Work alumni, also a UN Youth Ambassador, and she has been dubbed as a citizen of the world. Sarah Delanois is a site manager of a national early education organization called Jumpstart. She hosts the Jumpstart program at Pace University, where she supervises and coaches college students to implement a language and literacy program at Head Start preschools in Lower Manhattan. Sarah's professional goals include obtaining her clinical license in social work and to continue to work in the youth development sector. She obtained her Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology from St. John's University in 2015. Since 2015, Sarah dedicated her time to service in a variety of sectors, which include national service year programs, international work, a family homeless shelter, and a child welfare agency based in New York. Sarah was born and raised in Bel Air, Maryland, and the rest of her family originates from New York. She was inspired to obtain her master's degree in social work at Adelphi after her parents attended the university as first-generation college students. Ms. Delanois, it's a great honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kelsun on the Air Social Work Podcast, and welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you here to talk about social work, and I'm looking forward to this.
So, you just recently graduated with your MSW. That must have been really exciting. But tell our listeners how you got into social work in the first place.
Yeah, so my start in social work occurred around the age of 18, my senior year of high school. I didn't know what social work was at the time, but a lot of my, you know, teachers, friends, family, they just wanted to know, what are your plans after graduation? What are you going to do? Up until that point, I didn't really, you know, care about myself at all. I was very much reserved outside of the school setting. Like, I would either isolate myself in my free times or in the summer, just like by playing video games, watching TV, or just hanging out only with my family members. So I was pretty much attached to my family dynamic growing up. I came from a divorced household, so that resulted in me specifically being a people pleaser, where I just put like all of my best behaviors and efforts into the divorce rather than finding out in my teenage years what were my strengths, what were my abilities, and what kind of contribution I would want to make to the world. So it wasn't until I started putting more of my efforts into friendships and just getting out of my comfort zone where I really started to discover my strengths and abilities. So a good friend of mine back in my teenage years, she introduced me to a church, and they did a lot of youth initiatives. They did a lot of summer camp activities, studying the Bible, of course. And that's when I started to see my strengths and abilities and how, okay, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to follow faith-based principles into my career. So that's what propelled me to explore a profession specifically that was focusing on serving others, and not only serving others, but uplifting people in a way where they can solve their own problems once they leave services.
Okay. And just before we go any further, you mentioned that you come from a divorced household. So some of our listeners might be wondering, does that mean that your parents divorced? What does that actually mean for somebody that might not be familiar with that term?
Yeah, so at the age of six, my parents ended their very long-term marriage of about 16 years. So they were married for about a little over a decade, and they were divorced and remarried to different people. So as a result, at the age of six, I had to deal with that and two new families, essentially. So a mom and siblings from one side and a dad and siblings from other side. Each divorce is very unique on its own. Mine, in this case, was a joint custody. So I was able to have equal access to my father and my mother growing up. One week at my father's, and on Fridays, we would switch off, me and my brother, and then go to my mom's house for a week to spend time with both households. So we did joint custody up until we both reached the ages of 18. So it was a lot of like moving around different households, different cultures, and things like that.
It's very interesting. Very interesting. Now, you had mentioned that faith-based principles played a large part in your choosing of social work. What's your viewpoint of faith-based principles and how they apply to social?
Yes. So I recently just started to re-engage in reading the Bible, going to church, learning more about Jesus through the Gospels. I'm specifically reading the book of John. So I'm learning a lot about, in a Christ-like way, what does service mean? What does it mean to help others in need and to address problems in a way that uplifts others? Like, how do I treat populations that I serve in a way that are compassionate? How do I treat them in a way that's of integrity, where I work with them in a trustworthy manner? So I'm finding out all about that in the Gospels, especially through Jesus's work where, you know, he's healing the sick, he's giving people sight, and where I've heard a lot of my faith-based principles being solidified and resonating with my work is when I hear his voice through talking with populations in the Bible, especially in Samaria with the Samaritan woman that were marginalized, discriminated against based on factors that had nothing to do with them. But it was through Jesus's work and his gospel of the good news that give them that salvation and that grace to rise up from that and to be more than just their sins. So with social work core values of service, integrity, importance of human relationships, I see those two mixing very well. So I wanted to find programs where the church was doing service programs where we had access to populations like that, where we're not there to save them, but just what skills can we teach them to like help solve their own problems rather than us coming in to solve problems.
Very good. Very good. And very interesting. Now, I also understand that you've been involved in youth initiatives previously. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So it definitely started in college. I was able to go, I was born and raised in Maryland, but I was able to go out of state to Immaculata, Pennsylvania, to a small college called Immaculata University. So it was there where I was starting to get involved with a lot of youth initiatives. I was able to sign up to be a youth mentor to help first year students with their transition to college. So it was through these short-term work study programs where I got to see like what qualities are needed to be a leader, but not just a leader, to be a servant leader where we can learn from one another. So that's where I really learned how to apply those social work values of service and integrity of the other person. How can I learn from first-year students in a way where I can like address their needs, where I can give them the appropriate resources they need to go through their first year? Because their first year of college might have been different from mine. So I always viewed it as a partnership, no matter my title. So then after that, I continued more of those same work-study jobs, like first-year mentorship programs. I transferred to St. John's University up in Queens, where I did Jumpstart, and that's actually my current place of employment now as a site manager. But throughout college, I just made sure to get involved in like different short-term jobs on campus that surrounded youth. I was a diversity peer educator. I also was a research peer mentor as well at St. John's to make sure that I can have a solid background in human behavior that could then transfer into my graduate degree in social work. And then prior to obtaining my social work degree, I was able to work as a young adult career advisor in Brooklyn and also as a youth worker at a foster care agency as well.
Wow, quite a background. Now I see you have your poster in the back of Jumpstart. Tell our listeners a little bit about Jumpstart.
Yes. So Jumpstart is a early education organization. It's nationwide based, and they partner with universities specifically to coach, supervise, and support college students to implement a language and learning program out in Head Start preschools. So the population of Head Start preschools, we're working with families and children. We either live at or below poverty line. So we're specifically targeting populations that might not have access to high quality language and learning programs needed to enhance those skills for kindergarten. So our target population is specifically with the children ages 3 to 4, but then I supervise the college students to implement the language program in the preschool. So we do anything from storybook reading, different center times like arts and writing, and different physical activities, all to promote their skills needed for kindergarten.
Why is it, in your opinion, so important for you and others who want to serve to get involved in serving youth? Why do you think that's important?
Yes, I think it's important for youth because I think they need the skills to develop a sense of self-sufficiency and ownership over their own strengths and abilities to reach their full potential and get to their next step as well. I usually like to treat the college students that I work with as partners and try to enhance like their own skill set to be implemented both in our preschool classroom and outside the classrooms as well. So I think that I'm just very open to the idea that young adults specifically are experts as well. And they have these goals and they have these dreams. So what can I do resource-wise, coaching-wise, as a social worker to help promote that? So that way they can go serve as the next teacher, or as the next woman in STEM, just as examples.
Okay. Now, all of those previous experiences seem to have provided you with a solid foundation for this role that you found yourself in, which is a UN youth representative. Now that's huge, and I know that's huge. And I can tell by, you know, having talked to you previously, you know, how important that is to you and how much pride you take in it. So tell us how that all evolved, because that's not an everyday occurrence. So how did that all come about?
Yes, that is not an everyday occurrence. I laugh at it now because it's a position with this role that no one referred me to at Adelphi. So I was actually, this is my office where I sit to do my day in work as a site manager. Sometimes I even complete like my homework assignments in here, do podcasts, things of that nature. So it was after a final exam for one of my classes. I went to go just check my final grade through my transcripts. And I saw this UN youth representative position pop up on my portal. And because it said youth and I'm passionate about youth development, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to click on it. So I click on it. I see the criteria. You have to be at least between the ages of 18 to 32. I'm 30. That's perfect. You have to be enrolled as a Adelphi student for at least the 2023-2024 year. And then you have to attend like civil society events that were hosted at the UN or virtual, given the state of COVID at the time. So I figured I didn't want to be limited by my fear. I didn't want to be overthinking this. I figured I have enough experience with my previous roles and with my previous volunteer positions at Peace Corps as well, where I figured it was applicable to apply to this role. So I just simply applied, answered the questions they wanted to know about why I wanted to go into this role. And then I got it, I think, about a month later. So it was very much like a why not kind of moment. Like, I have the drive, I have the passion and the willingness to do it, and I did, and I didn't let fear hold me back.
Very nice. So tell our audience, and again, we have viewers and listeners, tell our audience, what is it like, what is the day in the life of a youth representative at the UN? Give us a little snapshot view.
Yes. So as a UN youth representative to Adelphi, I have to identify ways to bring back the work of the UN and the civil society activities back to campus or with my program of study with Adelphi. So I'm usually planning events. I'm usually attending the different civil society events that are at the UN headquarters. So just some brief examples of that was Social Work Day at the UN, connecting with other UN representatives around to discuss just collaborative events of like how we can address different issues like disability or racism or climate change and how we can bring that back to students. And it's also connecting with my teachers as well. So Dr. Carol Cohen supported me in getting this position, of course. So connecting with my professors to see how we can create an independent study course off of this as well, and relating that back to my degree in social work.
Okay. Now you mentioned something that had piqued my interest. Tell us about Social Work Day at the UN from the perspective of yourself as a UN youth ambassador. What's that day like?
Yes. So this occurred April of 2023. This year's theme was creating a more inclusive world. So we were specifically targeting individuals and populations who had different physical disabilities and what barriers they currently face, and how can we use more asset-informed language and create environments where those who had a disability were more enabled within their physical environment. So it was like a two-part event. There was a global student conference at Fordham University, and then the day after it was Social Work Day at the UN, where that one was more seminar based. We gathered with other guest speakers to learn more about what advocacy for those with disabilities look like globally. But then at Fordham, that was more of a collaborative effort where we hosted a student conference where students get to discuss their current initiatives on how to create a more inclusive world for those with disabilities.
Okay. So now social work is a very broad field, and having a degree in social work is said to prepare an individual to work in a myriad of different professions and with a bunch of different populations. So explain to everyone, especially students who are listening, why does a social work degree equip you so well to work internationally?
Yes. So for international, I would say it gives you the skills of adaptability. It gives you the skills of cultural competence, both inside and outside the classroom as well. I would say with the social work program at Adelphi does present countless opportunities to apply their knowledge of human behavior, the knowledge of diversity, oppression, and the knowledge of social welfare policy and how that relates with direct programming like Jumpstart all the way up into the national level where policies are involved. And specifically at Adelphi, I was able to use those skills of adaptability and cultural conference to be involved in different mental health conferences, research conferences, and different social action days that the specific school is social work hosts. So I definitely took advantage of the outside classroom experiences to hone my skills of social work. So I definitely became more analytical. I definitely became more adaptable and more openness and willingness to learn, like how to state better open-ended questions, how to view someone from like the person first rather than, so instead of saying like the disabled person, I'll just say the individual or community with disabilities, to put the person first rather than the diagnosis or the deficiency of that person.
And that kind of lends itself to the whole concept. A person is not necessarily their diagnosis. So, you know, keeping a focus on the individual as opposed to the diagnosis. So your path seems to be leading you towards international social work coupled with youth services, and that seems to be where you see yourself going as far as a career. And right now you're also involved with an organization called DeSales, if I'm correct?
DeSales Service Works. I'm technically an alumna of DeSales Service Works, but I could definitely talk more about that.
Tell our audience a little bit about that.
Yes. So De Sales Service Work is a specific ministry by the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales. It's a Catholic-based organization that takes volunteers specifically from different socioeconomic classes, like middle and upper class, to Camden, New Jersey specifically to learn more about service and just to gain awareness of the world outside of like their communities from a Christian like perspective. So that is where my start of like social work and youth initiatives came, because not only were we educating youth from different socioeconomic classes to come to Camden and to get rid of any stereotypes and misconceptions about urban communities, we were also teaching them faith-based principles as well, like how to treat someone with compassion, how to treat someone with integrity, with a gentle and kindness in a way where, you know, it's not like an us versus them. I think with sometimes in Christianity, we get caught up in like labels like believer, non-believer, sinner, not saint, things like that. But that doesn't matter in the face of Christianity and the Bible. So I think De Sales does a good job of like putting the Bible at work and using faith to like show like, because we love God, like this is our service rather than like using it as a hierarchy. So with our interns, and I was a part of that internship program too, we work at different homelessness shelters, health clinics, after school programs, social service agencies to build upon like those social work skills that are crucially needed.
Okay. Now with your social work studies, were there any particular classes that you feel serves you best in your role as a UN youth ambassador, applying faith-based principles? Was there any particular class that you feel gave you more tools to work with as opposed to other classes? In your opinion?
Yes, in my opinion. So I'm not just saying this because I'm taking the class right now, but it's with Dr. Telvis Rich. He's teaching a course this summer on children and adolescents, and we're applying different theories of human behavior to specifically work with children and adolescents. And this is perfect because my program targets very young children, the preschoolers, but then, you know, with first year and second year students here at Pace, I do need like those theories specifically on human behavior with adolescents to help them to reach their full potential. So I do like that you asked that question. This class has been the most useful for me because I'm learning about how different human behavior theories have practical interventions and prevention methods needed to strengthen the individual. So for example, we recently learned about behavioral activization and how someone's environment and their actions impact their mental health. So even though this theory doesn't help unlearn negative thoughts, it does give practical interventions to help boost their mental health by focusing on positive activities. So I'm learning about different interventions like activity monitoring, scheduling, different risk factors for avoidance and isolation, but then sharing that knowledge with, let's say, a young adult is very powerful, because once we leave services or don't interact anymore, they're going to have that skill set to realize, oh, these are avoidant tendencies. Let me address that and focus on a new activity that will boost my mental health. So that has been very, very useful for me. And then with each class, we always write like a big capstone project that focuses on a client and these theories. So all of it is very practical and relevant to real life examples.
Okay. And then, so in your studies at Adelphi School of Social Work, how have your studies there both helped and prepared you for your tremendous opportunities that include the UN Youth Representative and all the work you're doing at Jumpstart, De Sales, and how has that educational piece from Adelphi School of Social Work helped and prepared you?
I think overall it has helped me to become a better advocate overall in a way where the words like partnership and collaboration is key. So specifically with the School of Social Work at Adelphi, they do include a social work action day as part of professional development hours. The one thing a lot of people from the outside might not know about social work is that we do need those internship professional development hours needed to graduate. So if you don't have experience prior, it's 1200 hours. But if you do bring experience, then you need the 900 hours. So with that, they offer like a big day of social action where you can gain a lot of those hours. They have many options from group work to 1 to 2 day events. So with Adelphi, I was able to attend their social action work day with the New York State Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And we traveled all the way up to the state capital of Albany, New York, with a professor and Adelphi students to present legislation to better our domestic violence programs here in New York City. So we were able to meet with actual legislators, assemblymen, to introduce these well-needed and well-funded programs on the state budget. So that's what really like boosted my confidence and see like, okay, because I did a little bit of policy work while as a grad student, I can see myself doing that and having the skill set to do that outside of the program as well.
Okay. And so as we get ready to wrap up our very engaging interview and enjoying so much having this conversation with you. At the end of each show, I always like to ask my guest or guests if they could leave listeners and viewers with something that they could refer back to and take with them that may serve as inspiration or motivation for them. Once this show has been posted, something that they can say, hey, I remember that. That guest said this on the show. What would you like to say to listeners and viewers as we get ready to wrap up?
I would like to say to embrace all aspects of your identity and don't let fear limit you from the things that you think you're not capable of, because sometimes those fears aren't unhelpful and unrealistic and not based on reality as well. And specifically for me, because I'm a faith-based Christian social worker, I know that God is greater than any of my fears or symptoms of anxiety, depression, or past mistakes. So he takes away all that guilt and shame. So you as a person, whatever you hold true through your identities, embrace that as your strength, just like I do with my faith in God. And then that will take you to places that you least expect, like a UN youth ambassador role. If you asked me at 18, would I be doing any of this? I'd be like, no, like you're crazy. Like, like even like prior to this interview, I was laughing at myself because I was just like, wow, like this is just so beyond what I expected. But you know, God brought me here to do this for a reason and for a purpose, and he helped me to not be limited by my own fears. So with any profession, just don't put yourself like in a box or a framework. You gotta think beyond that.
Absolutely. Okay, and on that note, we're going to wrap it up again. This is Silas, your e-journalism social work advocate, host of the award-winning Kelso on the Air Social Work Podcast. And we've just finished having a very engaging and enlightening conversation with Ms. Sarah Delanoy. She's an MSW, Adelphi School of Social Work graduate, also an alumni of mine. And more importantly, she's a youth ambassador, and she's done so well in her role that Adelphi University has dubbed her a citizen of the world. Miss Citizen of the World, Miss Sarah Delanoy, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kelso on the Air Social Work Podcast. We appreciate you joining us, and thank you kindly.
Thank you as well.
This is Silas, your e-journalism social work advocate and host of the show. You've been listening to the Kelso on the Air Social Work Podcast. This and all other programs are available on the Apple iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor podcast platforms. Go to any search engine and type in Kelso on the Air in the search window to hear this show in its entirety. Thank you for tuning in. This has been a Kelso Communications production.